You're listening to SBS News.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves here with SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Thursday, the 29th of October 2020. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later we'll take a look at what you need to do to be on the Financial Review Rich List 200. But first, let's take a look at the Australian share market, because markets around the world copped a hiding. And it's because investors are worried about rising coronavirus cases, particularly in Europe and in the US. Here, the Australian share market, the S&P ASX 200, down 1.6% to 5,960. That is a three-week low. The banks and miners led the market lower. BHP off by 2.2%, ANZ off by 2.4%, Santos down 5%, and Myer was off 2% today. It had a tumultuous AGM. It likely received a first strike against its remuneration report, and its chairman resigned just hours before the meeting. The best performer on the 200 was Whitehaven Coal, up 4.6%. But the real story is this global rout in markets. US shares overnight down 3.5%. Germany, the worst of the major European markets, off by 4.2% overnight. So here, that 1.6% decline in comparison wasn't too bad. For more on that, I spoke earlier with Angus Geddes from Fat Profits. He's the CEO. Angus, we've seen global markets fall. Is it the US election, or is it rising coronavirus cases that's moving the markets? Because the losses in both Europe and the US are much larger than what we're seeing in Asia.
Look, I think it's both reasons that are really upsetting the market. Obviously, COVID cases are at a record high in the United States. That's definitely triggered fears of another lockdown, potentially. And of course, we've got the election coming up next week. It's going to go down to the wire. It looks like it's going to be quite contested in a number of states. So the market's really dealing with all of that uncertainty.
So what does that all say about what's actually influencing the direction of our share market?
Look, I think the Australian market traded lower on the back of Wall Street, but the losses are only about half of what Wall Street was down. So obviously, Australia's in a much better position. The economy's a lot stronger. We don't have the same COVID cases in Australia, and of course we don't have an election next week, so we're sort of more or less trading down in line, a little bit down in line with the US.
So given all this environment, and no doubt I guess we'll still see volatility as we head into the election, especially if it's a contested election, how do you trade in this environment?
Look, we're buying the dip. The stock market's under pressure, and certainly we're taking a lead from the US, but I think that once we're through the election in the States, one of the parties that gets elected, either the Republicans or the Democrats, will roll out another package of stimulus. That's going to be great for the market, and will reset the market for 2021. So we would definitely be taking advantage of the weakness at the moment.
Okay, let's talk about retailers, and I'm keen to get your take, because they're down today, many of them. Even JB Hi-Fi, which saw sales grow 27% in the September quarter, and even as its Melbourne stores were temporarily closed. What's your take?
Look, I think, you know, this year really has been a really tough one for retailers. The good ones will survive. JB Hi-Fi have done extremely well. Obviously, they're lower today in sympathy, I guess, for the rest of the sector. But what we are seeing is some of the weaker retailers are going under. And, you know, we saw that today with, you know, the likes of 90B.
Angus, let's talk the banks. ANZ posted a 42% drop in full-year profit to $3.76 billion, a final dividend of just 35 cents per share. Under pressure, those dividends. What's your take on the banks right now?
Look, I think ANZ represents an opportunity today because clearly investors reacted to the headline provisioning number. I think people were quite alarmed about the $2.7 billion. And, of course, no one really liked the dividend cut. But that was pretty much to be expected, given the last 12 months. I think ANZ will probably do a lot better next year. The economy is nowhere near as bad as probably what they've been factoring in. And, you know, it remains to be seen.
Let's move on to house prices now. And Domain says we've actually seen an increase in house prices for the September quarter. That's despite the pandemic. Combined capitals, the median price, $811,966. That's an increase of 0.9% for the September quarter. And for the year, prices are up 4.6% for houses, and prices rose in every capital city. The best, Hobart, up by 6.9%. The worst was Melbourne, which was flat. And then for apartments, though, for the combined capitals, the median price is $561,518, but that's an increase of only 0.1% for the combined capitals nationally. Year on year, prices are up 2.2%. So for the quarter, we did see falls, though, in Sydney for apartment prices by 0.2%, Melbourne 0.1%, Hobart 9.1%, and Canberra down 2.1%. Darwin performed the best for the quarter, up 4.5%. With more, here is Nicola Powell, Domain Senior Research Analyst.
I think the stability in the housing market is due to historically low interest rates, which has really helped to lure buyers back into the market. And obviously the government support measures to really help people through these financially challenging times. I think headroom risks still remain for the property market as we see fiscal support measures being reduced and removed, and also home mortgage holidays ceasing early next year.
Speaking of those mortgage holidays, in addition to the comments about profits from ANZ earlier today, it did give us an update on those. So the bank was saying that of the 55,000 mortgage deferrals that have expired at the bank, 79% have returned to full payments and 20% have asked for an extension. So that's an update from ANZ. Let's take a look at the Financial Review 200 Rich List, which you need a minimum of $540 million in terms of wealth to be on the list. And we saw a record 104 Australian billionaires on that list this year. Gina Rinehart is on top, worth $28.89 billion. That's an increase of 109%, followed by Andrew Forrest, $23 billion. An increase of 188%. Both those two mining magnates doubling their wealth in the space of 12 months. However, the biggest theme was in technology, and also there are around 40 migrants on the list. That's about 20% of that 200 list. So for more on that, I spoke earlier with Julianne Sprague. She's the Financial Review Rich List Editor. So how does that wealth creation happen during a pandemic-led recession?
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Like, for my mind, sort of when I was pulling this together, I thought we would be pulling down a whole lot of values. But, you know, you look at someone like Jack Cowan, who is behind Hungry Jack's and Domino's, and you have a look at the share price of what's happened at Domino's. People were still at home and they were ordering pizzas. People who had businesses that were geared to that really at-home environment. We've got Ruslan Kogan, who's done quite well this year because everyone was sort of buying up computer screens and setting themselves up. So if you were geared to that work-from-home idea, and if you were geared to things that were sort of, I guess in a way, in inverted commas, sort of pandemic-proof, you've done pretty well. The flip side, of course, is if you're in sort of other sectors. We've got some well-known people behind the Flight Centre business that they've been on our rich list for many, many years. They're not on there this year. It's been really tough for likes of Graham Turner and co.
Let's talk about the top two, right? Gina Rinehart and Andrew Forrest. Yep. They've both doubled their wealth in 12 months. How?
Look, it's extraordinary what has happened in the Pilbara in Western Australia. I think it's easy to forget the hard work that goes on up there. But you've had these aligning of stars, if you will. There's been supply issues out of Brazil that have sort of got impacted by coronavirus. You've had government stimulus out of China really driving demand for iron ore. And at the same time, you had these miners up in the Pilbara and they really swung into action. There hasn't been a single COVID case in any mine site in Western Australia to date. And it has meant that they have really dug up some tonnes and they are shipping it out with gusto up in the Pilbara. And as a result, you've got really good production, you've got really good iron ore prices, and as a result, you've got some amazing wealth being created.
You mentioned the work from home move, also more people online shopping. Can you tell us more about that and the move to technology? Because it's also brought on the buy now, pay later movers. And a lot of these people, they're quite young too.
You see, there's quite a lot of younger people on this list. It's very, good on them. But you, at the beginning of the year, you know, someone like Nick Molnar and Anthony Eisen, who are on our list, they founded Afterpay. Now, their shares went under $9, and they wouldn't. If we did the wish list in March, they wouldn't have been on it. That's how, in inverted commas, poor they were. Flip side, we're all at home. We all still want to feel good and do things. So we're all buying and we're using these payment services to help us do that. And they've managed to build this business through the pandemic. And now each of them are worth $1.8 billion on our list. So that's from sort of March through to now. That's quite an extraordinary journey that they have been on. So anyone sort of connected to the tech space, you'll see there are 19 debutantes on the list this year. More than half of them are from technology, and it's all about how can you help people do things better, faster, more remotely, and they're having a fairly good time of it.
And just finally, you mentioned Russell and Kogan there. What about migrants? What kind of a contribution are they making to this list?
Yeah, well, I haven't looked through our list, and there are a lot of migrants on it, and it does make me think about the border situation. And we need the international borders to open up. It doesn't necessarily need to be very soon, but hopefully within a few years, because I do worry about the future of our rich list. There are a lot of people who came to this country with not much more than the shirt on their back, and they have created enormous fortunes. We've got a gentleman from Malaysia, Maha Sinapathi. He has built he's building this big private city outside of Brisbane. He came from sort of very meagre background. He's now worth, I'll just have a look, $1.3 billion. Ruslan Kogan, he's created an empire in Kogan.com. If you talk to him, there's more to come. He thinks there's definitely more to go. But there's a lot of people. You know, Harry Triggerbot, Frank Lowy. You go through the list and there's a lot that have a migrant background. And I can only hope that our borders open, because it will be a challenging time in the years ahead for rich list editors if we don't have some great migrant success stories to build that wealth.
Julianne Sprague there, the rich list editor at the Financial Review. That is On The Money. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.